Hi, welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the weekly podcast where my guests and I explore what it means and takes to be a kick-ass and kind adult these days. Expect deep, real and raw, as no topic is out of bounds. We want lives and businesses that are profitable, sustainable and fun. We want lives that feel as good on the inside as they perhaps look on the outside. And that means adulting the fuck up. I'm Ebony Allard. I'm an award-winning coach, author, and speaker. And if you're ready to implement, go to n2n365.club. For now, though, let's get on with the show. Hey, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode. Today, I am joined by Craig Barlow, who is an ex-sailor turned men's coach and wild woman retreat leader who enjoys sarcasm, swearing, and inappropriate behaviour. Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
That is my favourite bio ever, I think.
Short and sweet, to the point. Oh, I forgot to put up sandwiches as well. That's always all up on there. I like sandwiches.
What's your favourite sandwich?
Oh, we have these sexy sandwiches. So we use focaccia bread. And we use leftover wings meat when we have a wings night. And it's got hummus and avocado and feta cheese and pepper mayonnaise, and we take them out in the mountains the day after wings night, and it's the best fucking sandwich. It's one, we call it sexy sandwich because it's the one the way you make sex noises when you eat it. Oh. So, you know, when you have food that's that good where you're just like, oh.
Yeah, and also when anyone comes near it, you're like, no.
Yeah, fuck off. You're like, like a rabid dog.
My fucking sandwich, man. Also, you know, you also see people who just ravage their food, and then others who are like, I'm gonna save this bit, and then I'm one of those, by the way. Like, I pull the sandwich out like 15 minutes after everyone's stopped, and I'm like, oh look, I just happened to have some more.
That's the worst, because I like this. That's why I used to sometimes have two and be a fat bastard, so I can demolish one and then savor the second one.
There's nothing fat bastard about you. You probably need all of those calories and more.
Yeah, I'm very, very active.
Yes, like, you
are. Very active.
Okay. Let's do this properly, because we've rushed, because, you know.
It's properly. You're talking about food and sandwiches.
I know, but let's come back to the beginning, start where I like to start. What does adulting mean to you?
Adulting? Probably not pretending that you are an adult and have all your shit together. To be honest, to be blunt.
Yeah.
Because nobody really does. But people like to pretend that they do, and show at this, hey, I'm a civilized adult that's got my shit together, but really under the surface, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Mm. It's really interesting that, because that's like, there's this concept of what an adult is, and then there's the reality of what being an adult is, and like, it's about taking responsibility for your life. It's about owning your feelings. It's about realizing that there's nothing fucking civilized about us, actually. You know, that kind of, we're animals. Can we just remember that we're animals, not robots?
Yeah. It's, I look at it as well, like, partly with, it's where most adults are children in adults' bodies. It's like children in these adult avatars. Which is partly true, because it's like that sort of shit we fucking carry forward into adulthood and just play out in life and get really, I think, avoidant of all that stuff, because it's like, oh, I'm an adult now. I should have these things sorted out. I should behave this way. I should be like this. And it's just all, I think what people tend to do is just abandon themselves more and more and more. I mean, like you said, with the animal side, and again, that's what, for me, is like, again, through my own journey with that, of like leaving the military and the Navy, where that side is very much like free of expression. There's no shame in or anything like that. No one gives a fuck. It's like, it's all these different characters and that kind of full expression, and then leave, and it's just like, what the fuck's wrong with me? I have to fit into this world now. And like, the more I tried to do that, the more miserable I became, the more depressed I became. the more I kind of like, what the fuck is my life? And then went on the track of kind of figuring that shit out again. And it's been like 7 years so far now, and still learning more. This is the thing, it's like you don't ever get to a point. I think that's the another thing people show, is just like you get to this point, it's like you don't ever get to a point where everything's fucking,
there's no 5-point system, look, I'm done, silver star.
No, there is,
it's called death, you know. It's like hopefully at some point you're like, oh look, I am done, and then you are done in this avatar, and depending on what you believe, you get to come back. I want to tap in on something, because one of the things you're really good at talking about is masculinity, fear, resilience, kind of this stuff around. So in my world, I work predominantly with women, and then I also have some men who come in who are experiencing feelings of shame around masculinity. And there's a lot of shame around masculinity going on in the personal development space, right? Because you either have the big, bad is better, dick swingy personal development, or you have the like, I must heal my feminine personal development. And there isn't really this place, and there is, but it's less talked about, where we get to celebrate masculinity for all its greatness, for all its ability to hold and ground and protect. And, you know, every single man was, in my world, was given a sword, and they now think their swords are fucking dangerous. And it's like, you're not, your sword isn't for killing, it's for protecting, dude. It's like, yeah. So I'd love you to speak a bit on that and your experience around it.
Yeah, I think for me, it was like when it started to see, when I came out of the Navy and being that kind of, without even knowing, right? Because that's, I've been in there since school. So without even knowing, you kind of, you develop into this expression of a man, right? And then coming out and just seeing lots of weird stuff around. Not to say that I was perfect. I had a lot of shame that I came out with as well. That's partly why the masculinity gets shamed, because it's like I cheated a lot, like on all my girlfriends that I'd ever had. Bar my last one, and like, so there's a lot of like shame around these expressions of masculinity, where does that like flip coin of like unhealthy expressions of it. Mm-hmm. And it's really managing this unhealthy side or shadow side that men don't want to go into, because there's so much shame there as well. Yeah. So much shame in that, and it's like, oh, I can't let this out because I won't have control of it. Because it's like you were saying, it's like this this animal side, this primal side, which is fucking needed, but you've got to like almost you've got to bring it out and kind of and tame it, not tame it as in like keep it in a cage, it's like tame it as in like is manage the behavior and energy that comes with it, and like, you've got to put that somewhere. So I didn't have anywhere to put it when I left the forces, is like, again, I have that active energy and this primal energy like kind of running through me. Yeah. And it was just like going towards destructive behavior. So learning to like really manage that, and it still always happens, is like these kind of behaviors still pop up, and they still need managing, still need the tools to do that. But it's I think what men do is they suppress that side of themselves, or they don't even know what it is. I didn't know what was kind of going on with me. But then like over the years now, where I've really just gone headfirst into all this shit, is like myself, it's kind of fucking understand it. I'm like, shit, yeah, it's like, it's not, I always joke, say, oh, it's not me, it's everyone else. It's like, but it's like, oh, it's not, this is like an actual thing that gets fucking shamed. You're not supposed to be like this, because it makes other people feel uncomfortable.
For me, the men and shame is like women and vulnerability. So women believe that vulnerability is needy, that it's weak, that it's you know, often in their vulnerability are all of their shadows, right? Like, so if we'll go into that vulnerability, if we actually open the vulnerability that you fear, if you look at your scared and where you are needy, where you need other people, where, you know, all of that stuff. It's very similar to what happens if you dive into shame with men, because you'll find all the place where the edges where they require and want love but don't feel worthy of it.
Yeah, And that's where your intimacy as a man gets fucking cut off. Your connection as a man gets cut off. Your ability to express yourself honestly, feelings and emotions, which are a human thing, they're not a woman thing, but I think there's different ways to do that. It's like men are not women. We have different ways to do that. But I think because men don't see that much around in men, it's like they look to women to do that. And that's why kind of is this thing about men being kind of almost, I don't want to say like too feminine, if that makes sense. But like they're kind of more disconnected from the masculinity. There's nothing wrong with having that feminine side as a man. I think there's a default on this whole masculine feminine side where you'll sit in a kind
it's
of place.
It's a spectrum. It's a spectrum. Yeah. It's not binary. Yeah. And yeah. I have masculine energy in me that needs to be healed. And you have feminine energy in you that needs to be healed. And men are done a huge disservice because there are not very many healthy emanations of feminine energy in them, right? So they haven't seen tons of examples of really well-rounded men who can cry or emote or feel their feelings or move through them or hold space for others' feeling. You know, it's like how many women get freaked out when men cry because they haven't seen it. And so how many men then are like, oh God, I'm going to freak someone out if I emote, so I won't. It's like you still have feelings that need expressing, man.
That's what my own, again, everyone's got their own process. My own process for that was like finding the things that make me feel the most vulnerable and fucking just go into them, because that's the shit that you need to go into, not avoid. And it's fucking difficult, man. It's challenging, but it's the aftermath is like, we're weird fucking humans. The way we internalize things to what they actually are when they come out and afterwards is like, how many times have kind of laughed at myself and laughed with clients, both men and women, going into this, because it's like it's never the same as once you get this shit out and work on it and heal it than it is when it's inside. And then we kind of almost feel fucking stupid for keeping some of these things in, and like the shame attached to some things, when it's like when you get out you realize, oh, nobody actually really gives a shit. And that's a good thing, because most of the people are doing the same fucking thing.
I think one of the things that I wish that people understood about shadow work is that it's really light work, because what we're doing, it's just, it doesn't have any of that, you know, peace, namaste bollocks around it. What we're doing is we're shining the light of our eyes, of our witnessing, onto the shadows. And in so doing, we're adding light to them. And so the shadows dissipate. And so in sharing our stories, in allowing the light into those dark spaces, they become lighter. They, you know, and the frequency rises. And on a metaphysical level, it's not so heavy anymore. It literally becomes lighter. There's so much power in sharing our stories. And one of the things that you do, which I love, which is so powerful and I wish people knew, is like make it physical and make it fun. So when you're making it physical and you make it fun, you're actually affecting the autonomic nervous system, right? So when you laugh after you've done something scary, you're recalibrating your autonomic nervous system and resetting it. And so people think that shadow work or personal growth has to be hard and isn't fun. I'm like, dude, it gets to be both, right?
Yeah, I think something is that I think I've recognized more now is the more I do that, it's like the more naturally I think people feel okay and more safe and trusting to be able to like divulge those things. And it's like where for me it's like kind of coaching people, not even on the retreats, but like just in general, is just like it's literally you don't have to have like, there's no all these fancy fucking tricks and steps and that. It's like a lot of it is like, if you really worked on your own fucking shit and continue to do so and are honest about it, then that is like for me like a massive part of what's going to help other people, because mostly what other people want is a space and someone they can trust to not only talk about these things, because like how many people have seen and go, oh, I've been to talk therapy and psychologists and that, where you like talk. And like, yeah, but it's like, that's a good part of it. But it's like, you need to be able to get to roots of things, be able to kind of clear kind of emotion stuff out to him, clear shame out, go and integrate into your fucking life, go and test it out. That's what I mean, is like practice and training rather than go and fucking integrate it and test this shit out. Otherwise, you do not know that you've fucking changed anything. You can convince yourself, oh, I feel good. I feel like I've changed. Well, go and fucking find out. Go and put yourself out there and see.
And I think that's a really important point, right? Because retreats on their own really change something fundamentally. But in order to implement and stabilize that, it's not a one and done, right? You don't go and do this process. You don't just jump off a cliff or reveal your soul to someone and then never have a shame hangover and never repeat the same behavior again. Like if you just did 35 years of doing something a certain way, one weekend may very well shift and change that. But your sneaky ego of like, oh, this, like the autopilot, right? In the same way as when I was a kid, my mum used to drive us to school on a Saturday by accident because she's just so used to doing it. We'd be like, why are we here? And she'd be like, oh, because I didn't think about where we're actually going, right? It's exactly the same way. If you're not leaving that retreat or leaving your coaching experience or leaving the change behavior and then consciously and intentionally doing something different until it becomes a new habit, it's not going to stick.
And even like with that shadow stuff as well, and that, it's like these things are like they don't all disappear. It's like they're still there. So when you're in like heightened states of like stress, or your nervous system's really jacked up, or you kind of you're in threat, or you go through a difficult patch and you feel a bit exposed and kind of raw, and these things are gonna like come back up. And it's like it's for me, it's more about you understanding these part all the parts of yourself rather than keeping them in the dark, because then you have no fucking way of managing them when they come out. And it's like you're trying so much to suppress, but get these things out, let things be a bit messy. It's like it's not fucking clean and fucking linear. It's like it is messy, and you feel shame because of that as well, because like everybody seems like their life's perfect and in order and stuff. It's like fucking forget that. It's just like it's gonna be, this stuff is gonna be a little bit fucking messy, and that's
I want to tell everyone that at the beginning of this call, so we were scheduled to do this podcast, and I literally arrived in tears being like, bleh, 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 and Craig was amazing and just like, get it out. And then we can have the conversation. And I'm so grateful for that. But it's true. It's like everyone needs to know that. I think people look at me often and be like, you've got your shit together. I have, and I haven't, you know, both things are true.
That's what people want. People don't, like, I get like the whole thing with like, our success stories and like all the good things of like, it's like being inspirational, like wow, but is that what really people want? Or people would want to know, but oh, it's like, is you're not up here and I'm here. It's just like you're a fucking human being. You have the same shit I do. Oh, that happens to me. Oh, fuck.
And it's just like, it doesn't matter how enlightened we become, right? We all still shit. Right. We all still eat. We all still cry. We all still want to have sex. We all still feel undervalued. We all still, all of those things still exist.
Yeah, it really is that I look at someone as like I always resonate with people who are like really fucking raw and really honest and that, because I know how difficult that is to fucking do. Like it really is like challenging to do, and that's why I think you don't see many people like really fucking doing it. I mean, like really fucking doing it, and even I'm always attempting that, but it's sometimes I fucking fail at that, or I will kind of hold on to things for a little bit and then do it and just think, fucking hell, why don't they just do that before? It's just, again, it's this, we're imperfect, we have flaws. A lot of it is about accepting all of that within yourself, and you become more kind of bulletproof from other people because you're like, yeah, I know that about myself, and I'm accepting of that because I've dealt with the shame. I know it's still there. I know it will pop up, but I'm not going to take criticism and judgment from outside, because it's like, I'm accepting that I'm imperfect, I have flaws, and I'm always working on this. So as long as you always, he's like, oh, I'm going to take this away and I'm going to work on this bit. I'm thankful that I've seen this part or somebody pointed out to me, not to like keep fucking shaming ourselves for these things.
Yeah. I feel like we also reach a point where often we're looking for something else to heal. And there can be a bit where you're like, you know what? Maybe you have reached a level of maturity now. Maybe you have reached a place where it's not, there's nothing more to learn. You just get to really go and implement it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I totally get you on that. I mean, I've done that, so I can get quite obsessed with this shit. It's like, I get that tunnel vision, and I just want to go, like, I just think balls deep on everything is like, but then it's like, that's a good thing. But then it's like, don't forget to come up for air. Don't forget to come up and look around and like actually go, oh, hey guys, come along. This is what I've just kind of learned about myself, instead of like 17 steps later and you're like balls deep in this fucking real entanglement of shit that's amazing. But it's like you disconnected from people because it's like you've just gone head down and gone straight ahead without kind of sharing each piece along the way. So it's, yeah.
And there's two parts, right? I often say anyone can be spiritual in a cave, right? So you can do your shit on retreat, or you can do your shit in isolation. You can really understand yourself. You can be in that place of intensity in your own process and really learning who you are. And then you can come out. And I love this about the kind of wild man and wild woman archetype, is you can come out and be like, oh my God, I need to share this thing. Right. And everyone else is still like in their everyman, or in their like whatever, you know, living their life, or maybe completely in the matrix. Like, and they just look at you like, what? Like, there's still some relating that needs to be done. And I'm not saying people please, and I'm not saying change yourself, but like, read the room.
There's a thing with that as well, like the kind of the wild man, wild woman thing, in a sense of like energy as well, being like, you know, we are energy and all that jazz, but like, where it's the wild man, wild woman thing, that primal part and that often really suppressed and shamed part, is where your most potent fucking sexual, I noticed a lot when I started getting this, is like how much my fucking sex life improved. Like taking away the shame, being way more fucking open, having those conversations openly, even like having conversations, what do you like? How do you like it? Let's try some shit. Let's do this, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, and it can be like intense, and you're getting into that fucking primal state, which is fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. And like your creative energy as well, is like, it's all that stuff sits in this fucking, these centers where it's like where your primal part is, your wild man or wild woman is, it's even his primal. That's why a lot of women the same as like, how many women that I speak to that are like, never orgasm during sex. I'm like, sorry, what? It's just like, it's like where it's such a big thing for women, but then men have shame around sex too, and are very robotic and that because of porn, and they all think they're fucking Christian Bale out of fucking American Psycho fucking in the mirror. And
yes, and that takes me back to that place of communication, right? Like, so and the fact that we're different, and so we, part of the experimentation process, or part of the relating process, or part of the connecting process, is like, oh, I had an ex who just used to say the same thing louder. And I'd be like, I am like, the last time we went to France, did shouting in English louder help you? Right? Like, I don't understand you, so shouting at me is not going to help. Like, try some different words. And it's that really interesting thing of like, the first, like I was saying, that first step is like, I know what I mean, but then taking it into relationship and being like, okay, you're not understanding me. Can I get creative with helping you to understand? And then from the other side, it's like, okay, I'm not understanding you. Can you help me understand? Because I want to. And getting really clear that we want to be in connection from this place. Like, it's really important that women connect to themselves and value their own orgasm and delight in their wild woman, and the same for men. But then can we come into relationship and find this unity? Because for me, that's where the excitement is right now, and that might change, but for me right now I'm like, that's so cool. Yeah,
it is. And it's weird to look back now, because like talking about this stuff now, but I'm like, then I have these conversations with some people, sometimes you go like fucking deep for hours in it, and like before you know it, you're just in the zone of it, and then like, fuck me, man, it's just like going back to when I was like a sailor and just drunk and one night stands, cheating, filled with shame. And in this, I'm like, fuck me, it's like totally different. Totally different. It's
Could you go back?
Could I go back?
Yeah. To that way of relating.
No. But then again, but I look back on it now, and I look back at it not in like, I'm like, in shame or regret of that person. I'm like, hey, I had a good fucking time. It's like that part of my life is like, it's not to have regrets, because if I didn't have those experiences, then I wouldn't be here, like probably with the things I'm doing now. And I got a lot out of my system in that 13 years in the Navy, and I had a fucking blast. So it's just like, okay, it's just like, that's it. It's like you did, like, it's with the awareness you had, you were doing what you were doing.
So my 20s was filled with the film industry and cocaine. And I was in the sun at 30 with a, she slept 30 women and before she, 30 men before she was 30. This woman is a slut. It was a really hardcore headline, right? Which they just wouldn't have used for a man. They wouldn't, like, the whole, it was very, very interesting. And so I've been clean for 10 years and I have no interest in ever using drugs or alcohol in the way that I did then. And I also have no interest in relating to other human beings in the way that I did then, because they were just ways to process. And I really thought it was connection, right? But the me now wants
it to, was in a way,
yeah, but I really want to go back to that 10 years younger version of me and be like, so much more available to you. Yeah,
Jonathan, you need that, as in, like, that's part of your experience and part of your journey, isn't it, as well? And it's like, yeah, I'll definitely look back and just think, I had a great time. It's like, not, I don't shame those parts now, because I've dealt with that. Where, like, the cheating was like one of my biggest things that held me back. One of the biggest things that held me back and made me just destroy everything, because it's like, I am not a good person. That's the difference between, like, shame and guilt. Like, shame is I am, it's identity, and yeah, guilt is like, there's something I did. But like, so this where shame is so destructive, because it's like, I'm a bad person. Because of these things, shame, I don't deserve these things, so I'll like block them out.
So I never cheated, but I ran. So as soon as things got too close or too comfortable, I'd be like, fuck you, I'm out of here. I did not ask for serious, I didn't ask for real, I don't want you to know who I really am or what's underneath any of this veneer. Fuck you, I'm out. And and they'd be like, we can go back to just having sex. I'm like, no, you wanted to know who I really was, and I am never going to show you. And that's who I was for such a long time.
And it's a difficult journey, because you get all these things, and it makes me laugh. I always take the piss out of them, like inspirational quotes and that. It's like, they're great, but I just like to poke things and take the piss out of things, right? And it's like, you know, being who you are, just be who you are. It sounds like people would be like, yeah, well, I am, you fucking idiot. But it's like, it's like, you don't get it. It's like, it's a fucking challenge to do that, because he's like, some people will never get to that point in their life of actually having something that will make them go into that and like shake them and question all this. And it's just like, when you do that, it's kind of like almost like you've been living a lie of somebody who you're really not, and then you get to go then almost like on this journey of like figuring it out. And that scares, it's scary.
It was scary the first time. I'm on like version 4 now, and now I'm like, oh cool,
you get used to it.
Yeah,
it's like, it's fucking, can be like really fucking scary. Remember like the first time, so I didn't understand what was going on,
and it genuinely, like, what I now see as a soul death felt like actual death, right? Like, I thought I was dying, I thought I was going crazy, I thought I was insane. And now I'm like, oh, there's just a part of me that no longer needs to be here, that I can say goodbye to, honour, respect, let go of, and step into something new.
But there's grief in that as well. It's like, you actually feel the feelings of grief in that. So it's like, people are like, what the fuck's going on? It's like, again, this is the thing. It's like, once you've done that once or twice, it's I'm just grieving for this other part of me. So you kind of celebrate and go, oh, cool, I'm grieving. That means I'm like, I'm growing again, and like, I'm letting go of these parts that don't want to go. The ego parts.
I still grieve the party girl from time to time, because I will never be her again. That doesn't mean I can't have fun. I won't be that particular version of me ever again, because I can't unknow, unsee, you know, I can't make myself less dimensional, right? Like, I eventually went in to look what was underneath, because one of the reasons, I can't believe I'm about to share this, but basically I had a boyfriend when I was really young who knew me better than I knew me. And I swore that would never happen again. Like, he understood me more than I did. Now I'm like, you know me better than me? Tell me, what do you know? Yeah. I'm so open, like, what do you see? But then I was like, fuck you, no one is ever gonna outsmart me about me. And so I just didn't let anyone in there. And so I can never go back to being a person who doesn't know herself, right? Like, it's not possible.
Yeah, I think that there's always parts, there's always more parts to understand as well, isn't there? I think that's the thing, just to understand and uncover. And I say, once you've done that a good few times, you kind of get used to your own process. And that's what I think, everybody has their own process, and don't try and tell somebody how they should fucking do that, because it's like, it's going to be different for fucking different people. And that's what pisses me off, is like, they're saying, this is my blueprint because this worked for me, so do what I'll tell you what to do.
I'm eye rolling. Those of you who can't see me, I am eye rolling. There is no one size fits all. I wish there fucking was, but there isn't. And if you believe it for a second, it's like, it's one of those cons. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, when you're saying about missing the part of your side, I don't have that with mine. It's I definitely have abused my body like so fucking much enough for a couple of lifetimes that my body's just like, okay, you've done with that part now. It's just like, and I feel content with that, where I see guys my age and older that maybe have gone a different path and been married early and then, divorced, and then later then they're off in this stage now, and I'm kind of looking back, I'm like, oh, that's like, it kind of like, it doesn't make sense to me to start, like, oh, okay, you've just like, it's almost like you've Benjamin Buttoned your life. It's just like, oh, okay, so I feel really good that I've been there and done that side now, and I'm kind of more content and chill with it rather than trying to live that out again now.
I understand that. We could talk for hours, and we probably will, and we'll probably have some more conversations and do some more work together at some point, I hope. If people want to come and find out more about Wild Man, Wild Woman, and like generally be triggered to fuck by you and learn about themselves, where should they come and do that?
I kind of mostly on Facebook, I think, just Craig Barlow on Facebook. Instagram is The Naked Mountain Man. Website, thenakedmountainman.com, which reminds me to update a little bit. And all the stuff will be on my link trees on my social medias, rather than going to, who goes to websites these days, go for the social medias. And my Wild Man membership community and Wild Woman membership community is just going live this week.
So by the time this comes out, which will be the end of October, it will be live and they can come find out.
You can come and join, get triggered and sort of shit out and be around a lot of cool people.
Amazing. Will you end on I'm an adult but with me?
What's that?
Just will you end with I'm an adult but?
Oh, I'm an adult but.
And then you just anything. Really, go on.
I just really like my fucking childish side. I think it's like one part of me that I feel is like, is when I lose that and become like serious, is like, I know I'm off track. It's like, no, I need to keep that child, not childish, childlike, not a man child, but childlike. There's a difference. And it's like, I'll never change that. It's like, I'll keep that, even if it triggers the fuck out of people, which it does.
Really? They're stupid. I love your childlike side. It inspires me to stay in mine, and I have a real love-hate relationship with innocence, and which again is, you know, ever so slightly different from childlike. But for me, one of the ways that shows up, and it's a real edge between love it and I'm a bit ashamed of it, is that innocence, naivety, because I'm always scared I'm going to get caught off guard. Yes, I'm an adult, but some days, and I have a really fucking successful business, and some days I still want to burn it all to the ground. And someone said to me the other day, do you sometimes want to get a proper job? I'm like, I don't even know what a proper job is. I've never had one. I'm not interested in a proper job, but sometimes I do want to fire everybody and just like I'm building this thing that's way bigger than me so that we can impact more people, so that no one ever feels alone, so that people feel free to be themselves and have belonging. And sometimes I'm just like, life was easier when it was just me.
Feels normal though, isn't it, if you're in this kind of thing? It's just like you want to burn shit down and fuck everything up every now and then.
Yeah, it mostly tells me that I need a holiday. I need to go and have some fun, right? Like, I need to go and do some wild woman stuff. Like, when I'm in the place of, like, I want to burn it all down, it means go stand on a mountain. It means go skinny dip. It means, like, go and hang out with people that challenge you. And I never used to know that. I used to burn it down before I realised that I just need to go and play.
Yeah, play. That's it. Play with fucking everything. It's like, keep playing fucking everything. That's why, that's my feel anyway.
Thank you so, so much for coming and having this conversation with me.
No worries. Thanks for the invite.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening, for sharing, for rating and reviewing. If you have enjoyed this free content, please take a moment to rate us, to share an episode, to spread the word on social media, or to come find me on Instagram and tell me what you thought. On Instagram, I am @EbonyAllard, and I will see you in the DMs. Bye.